Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls.
Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and today I'm here with Coach Lakin, who is one of our coaches inside of Rejuvenating. And Lakin strongly focuses on mindset. So I'm excited to chat with you today, Lakin.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back on. It's been a little minute.
Yeah, of course. So tell the ladies, some of them might not know from last episode or just in general, how did you get started inside of the mindset space?
Yeah, so I've given this a lot of thought actually, because I also kind of implement my practice with another coach. And I do somatic therapy too. So there's been a lot of self-reflection happening over the last couple of months, but I've given this a lot of thought. And I really think the reason that it calls to me so much and that I am so invested in it is because I don't have like this personal transformation story in another way, right? So like a lot of people hold their physical transformation or personal fitness and nutrition story to heart, right? Like, yes, I have a strong background in that, and I've been coaching kind of those facets for over a decade, but, and I still am, you know, continuing education there too, not to say that it doesn't interest me, but with the mindset, the biggest difference that I can tell is that with fitness and nutrition, I never had a really huge obstacle to overcome, right?
Right.
Like I was always strong. I definitely adjusted my nutrition strategy, but I never found those things hard. Everybody has their own hard. And for me, like making adjustments, I'm a very routine person anyway, and overall I'm pretty disciplined. So when it came to making adjustments with my nutrition or building in new routines or staying on course or staying consistent with things, I'm a creature of habit. So I really love habits. And so those things were never a really big challenge for me. It wasn't this big thing that I had to overcome. And so having like a personal story attached to it wasn't really there. It was, but not in a way that I could relate to other people that were really trying to overcome it, right? And including clients.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would even struggle, like as a young coach, I remember being like, I don't understand why you can't just do it, right?
Right. No, I put on your big girl pants and eat some vegetables. Let's go.
Right. Or like I remember, like there's never been a time that I can remember that I couldn't do a pull up or I couldn't do a push up, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I was specifically coaching women, it was like there was definitely a learning curve in the beginning as I was a young coach of having to relearn the regression and progressions of those movements, and things that seemed simple to me, I had to have a lot more empathy around. And that just comes with like, you know, growing as a coach. When it came to the mindset piece, that was the first time I think when I looked into like my bag of things that I'm passionate about, that I really had a personal struggle with it, where I had a lot of my own narratives that were crafted from previous traumas and things that had happened in my life and my own stories that I told myself about myself that impacted the way that I showed up in personal relationships, in my career, in friendships. And this was the first time that I was able to take an honest look at that and really see a change in how I interacted, how I handled conflict, how I went through these situations day to day based on these practices that I put in place.
Right.
And that was big. So I guess, long story short, to answer your question, more impactful for me personally. I didn't have, yes, I've gone through small physical transformations where I've adjusted my body composition or changed weight, but I haven't had a big weight loss story personally. Mm-hmm. I haven't had, you know, like a struggle with autoimmune issues or things like that, that had to be remedied with nutrition, but I have had some serious mindset hurdles that I've had to overcome, and being able to do that for myself with the help of other coaches then just showed me, you know, how powerful this stuff is, and just made me want to be able to use it to help my clients and, you know, anybody that is interested even more.
No, I love that. And you're right. And I love that you said how everybody has their own hard. And that's a great way of putting it, because just because you didn't necessarily have a fitness struggle or, you know, a physique struggle, you weren't overweight, like you said, you didn't have an autoimmune condition, but the mindset piece was super difficult. But it is difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's not included in a lot of fitness and nutrition programs out there. Why do you
feel thing, right? It's like, it's like having, I like to compare it to when people have an illness or something that doesn't manifest physically, right? You don't see that. Everybody mm-hmm. says, you know, you don't know what other people are going through. And that's so true. We walk around with these narratives in our head all the time that impact the way that we react to mm-hmm. everything. And no one can see that except us. And sometimes it can feel really, really overwhelming. And especially women have a really hard time overcoming the spiral that can happen, or getting overwhelmed by it, or feeling very anxious around mm-hmm. it. And we really get into these patterns of like the fight, flight, or freeze very mm-hmm. frequently, flight and freeze, right?
Yeah, right.
Or on, which is, I'll be going over this in my next mindset call, the group call. So make sure you tune in, ladies. But yeah. You know, that's that people pleaser tendency to not want to disrupt. I hear that all the time. I just want to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's yep. very human. Yeah. So will you go over just a teeny bit about those things that you had said, the fight, the flight, the freeze, and the fawn, just so the ladies can kind of understand them and maybe understand a little bit of where they are in their own lives.
Yeah. So they're basically, those are going to be our defense mechanisms, right? And this is how we were conditioned to respond to anything that upregulated our nervous system or caused trauma from a young age. Usually our most developmental age is going to be anywhere from 7 to about 13. And in those years, when our family system presented any conflict or disruption or anything that made us not feel safe, and there are big traumas and little traumas, right? Like it could be as little as someone not showing up for a game, or mm-hmm. you saying, you know, I need this right now, and it not being given to you. And that can show up as a trauma for you, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on what your situation is and how you receive it. It could be as big as big T traumas, right? Where we look at like abuse.
Right. But
depending on what that atmosphere looked like and how we responded at that time, that was our defense mechanism. That's our learned behavior that kept us safe. And mm-hmm. so it's either fight, which usually represents as being defensive or needing to be right, or kind of like always bucking the narrative to make sure that I'm heard, I'm assertive, I'm seen in this moment, right? Or flight, which is going to be to avoid, retreat, to not want to face it, to try to change the subject, to try to just smooth everything over and pretend everything's okay, but not in a way of the people pleaser, right?
It's right.
We're just not going to mention it. It didn't mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. The freeze response is the shutdown. That's where we find ourselves in a place. And a lot of these present simultaneously, right? You're not always going to have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So more often than not, it's going to be combined, because these are traits that are learned. We're complex beings, right? And these are traits that are learned over time. And so they get stacked. Mm-hmm. And someone that is avoidant probably also will freeze. And it's more of how you react in the moment, right? I might mm-hmm. shut down. I might get really quiet. I'm not going to continue to engage in the conversation if I feel threatened. And then the fawning, that one is the people pleaser tendency. That's, I'm just going to like tell you what you want to hear. And I'm going to make sure like everything's smooth and like there's not really a problem here. Like, and I will always concede in mm-hmm. order to avoid any like sense of chaos or problem in that situation.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And do you find that, do you find most people deal with two usually?
Yeah. So for example, right, like I have a combination of a fight and freeze response, which seems polarizing, right? Like you would do one or the other.
Yeah.
But usually, it depends on the dynamic of the situation. If I feel like I have control over the situation, if I feel like the power dynamic is shifted in my favor, then I'm always fight. And usually my fight is my immediate go-to, right? That's how I learned to assert myself during those years where my needs were not being met appropriately. So I had to fight for it, right? Mm-hmm. I had to make sure, hello, this is what needs to happen, or I'm just going to go do it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Hyper independence almost.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel safe in that situation enough to be able to present that fight defense mechanism, if I feel overpowered, if I feel like my nervous system is too stressed out, then I go into freeze and I will shut down. And a lot of women can probably identify with that, right? Where you feel like helpless is the best word I can think of it. You can't formulate words appropriately. You can't articulate your thoughts the way that you want to. You just feel like, if I just pretend like I'm by myself, everything will be okay eventually.
Right. No, but that's helpful, because I was thinking while you were talking about them, I was like, I actually feel like I'm more fight, but then people pleaser, the fawn.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how do those even go together? It seems in your head crazy because you're fighting, but then you're smoothing it over. But I feel like in a lot of situations, that would be the two that I would take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then again, one is sometimes like the go-to, and then the other one, the backup, or the plan B.
Right.
Know, depending on the situation, we're always like assessing, right? Constantly assessing to see, you know, we care so much usually about the perception of others, other people's opinions, how we're viewed, because we're social creatures. And so we're dependent on historically being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That's not everybody, just generally speaking.
Right, right. So if you could pick either one or two things in your experience, because now, and we'll go into this, but Lakin's doing mindset calls now with our clients. She is offering separate coaching just for mindset. So what would you say in your experience with that are the top two things that most women that we work with are struggling with mindset-wise?
So the two stories that usually present themselves the most are a lack of self-worth story, right? And that can manifest as either internal self-worth, or a lot of times it will come through as to like, what they're aware of is I don't like what I see in the mirror.
Yep. Right.
But what we have to find out, and what I do when we dig in deep, is there's something attached to that. It's not just simply the physical. And it usually came from something that happened at some point in your young adult life, right? Mm-hmm. Or even childhood. But adolescence has a big role in that story. And if the story is, I don't like the way I look, it could have started as someone picking on you in school. It could have started as, you know, an in-law making a comment about your weight. Right. And it could have started about a parent, you know, putting you on a quote unquote diet at a certain age, or making comments about the clothes that you chose to wear, right? It can be these little things. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when this thing happened to us, right? And this is what I call the story. When this thing happened to us, we attach to it subconsciously. And then that starts to build all this evidence up that supports this narrative that says, I'm not good enough, or I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not thin enough, or whatever the story is that we start to formulate about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we have to dig into where that comes from, right? And I'll usually try to trigger into what's the feeling that we're feeling with this right now, so we can tie the mind and the body. Mm-hmm. And then where can we go back and remember, using our reticular activating system, remember where we felt that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And then how, now we got to get that out on the page, mm-hmm. right? So we can work through it. So we have to look at the words that we're using to describe that situation that happened and how powerful are those words, right? It's mm-hmm. huge. And if we can right. adjust them while simultaneously downregulating the nervous system with the breath, then mm-hmm. we can start to view it through a different lens.
Right.
Instead of the narrative being something that's against us, then we can shift it to be something that can be more empowering, to create real affirmations, right? Not ones that you pull off Google or off of a quote or a calendar or, you know, a fortune cookie, wherever you find them, right? Because right, right. those, when we try to implement affirmations that are found or given to us, it, you can say them in the mirror all day, but it's empty in meaning because we mm-hmm. don't have any supporting evidence for it. We have all of this supporting evidence to support the narrative of the negative story, mm-hmm. but we don't have any evidence to support the positive, where we're trying to spin it. And so when we spin it, we build evidence around it. We start to shift the lens of how we viewed that situation that happened to us. And then we pull from other situations in our lived experience that can support the positive narrative.
Right. And why do you feel it is so much easier for us to just always go the negative route? Because a lot of us do that. It's so much easier. But all we have to do, it just seems silly because all we would have to do is just shift it a little bit and think positively. So what do you feel like is the reasoning behind that? Why we do that to ourselves?
I think, I mean, in the short, right, I think it's just human nature. And I think that comes from, we are not equipped with like weaponry, right? Like our brain is our weaponry. We're not born with sharp teeth or claws or wings or these things to like defend us. And so our being, like going back all the way, right, is that we are engineered to assess danger mm-hmm. and avoid it at all times. And so if we put a negative spin on things, it keeps us safe. Mm-hmm. That's what we think.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. But it also prevents us from taking action. So in modern day now, right, it's like we're still assessing all these situations and making sure that we can keep ourselves safe mentally because we're not worried about, you know, wild animals and, you know, stuff like that anymore.
Right, right.
We're worried about stressors from coworkers or bosses or, you know, inclement weather or toxic friendships or toxic relationships, you know, things right. like that. So we assess those situations to look for safety. And the negative spin keeps us internal, right, and kind of shut down, but it keeps us from taking action, an action that could be assessed as risky by our like lizard brain.
Mm-hmm. Lizard brain.
Yeah. But it also like inaction keeps us in the spiral.
Right.
So that's the other beautiful part about the mindset work is if we can get some clarity, if we can get some space from the story that right now we're implanted in, we can take a step back, put it on the page, work through it, and then really, really analyze what's happening, that mm-hmm. can give us that room to be able to objectively observe it for what it is and be honest with ourselves.
Right. So
creating that self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge. Yeah.
And from there, then we can decide, right? We can decide to take an action.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, and I think that for a lot of people, I don't know. Mindset is just, it's such a struggle. And a lot of people do struggle with taking action in working on their mindset. I feel like it's, I don't know if it's people are afraid to seek it out or if they have a hard time finding the right person, but I know now you're doing it within our program and it's been so, so helpful for so many of, I know my clients even. So will you just tell the ladies kind of like what you're doing now inside the program and what it looks like for anybody that would be interested?
Yeah. So essentially for all existing rejuvenating clients, I'm offering a 4-pack of calls. So I do a discounted rate for rejuvenating clients. And so it breaks down to about $75 a call. Mm-hmm. But we'll do a 4-pack because it takes a couple calls to be able to get into the deep stuff,
for sure.
And be able to start to enact change and start to call some actions forward. And so 4 is really the minimum that I would like to do. Eventually we'll get to a point where I'm probably doing an 8 or a 12 pack because then we can really start to get into some stuff. Yeah. But for right now, the 4-pack is available for any existing Rejuvenating clients. They can purchase it through the app, and it's 4 1-hour calls with me. You'll get an intake where we'll go through and you'll give me some background information. That way I can understand what you're struggling with, where you're feeling stuck, any background on some key environmental issues or relationships in your life that we might need to work through. And then we'll get right to it. We get to it in the first call. A lot of women are very surprised. Yeah. Like their first call, they're like, oh, I didn't think we were going to go here. And I'm like, we got 4 hours of time. We're going to make the most of it.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we were talking about before we started recording. One of my coaching clients started with Lakin, and after her first call, she had said to me, I didn't know which route it was going to go. I wasn't sure. She goes, and we got deep, but I was so thankful. She said, because I've been searching for someone who would talk to me like Lakin does, who would work things out with me like Lakin does. So it's really, you're impacting a lot of women, and it's super awesome. I'm really grateful that you're offering this now for Rejuvenating.
And yeah. So, like, I love it, right? Like this, it's super fulfilling work for me. Like if I can enact these changes, even on a small level, right? Like sometimes we just have a small energy shift within a call, but it can make such a big difference because it has this ripple effect overall. Right. And that's huge. So I really, really love it. It's been really rewarding to me, and I'm excited to be able to offer it. I would say the second one that I see the most is telling themselves how they handle relationships, right? Most of the time it's their partner, their romantic partner. Sometimes it's friendships, close friendships, but usually it's how they see themselves in those relationship dynamics, right? Either I'm too defensive, or a lot of times it's a story about the other person and we're not clear on seeing ourselves in that situation yet. So it's they're doing this to me. And that's where that victim mentality comes in, right?
Yeah.
And so in that situation, we have to start to take ownership of our actions and our words and our expectations in those relationship dynamics. And then we can start to see, how can we take action? How can we make changes in the way that we interact or receive information or react, right? Because we can't control what we can't control other people. We can't.
Right.
We have no say in what they do or say and how they act and behave. All we can do is control how we receive and react to that.
Right.
And boundaries that we either do not hold or try
which
to.
Which is typical.
Yeah. And the boundaries is a big one. We talk about that a lot. A lot of women really, really struggle with boundaries. And it's not their fault, right? We're not taught these things. It is not culturally popular or doesn't really do society a lot of good, honestly, if women go around holding boundaries all the time.
Right.
So it is something that is ingrained in us from a young age that we are to, you know, accommodate and provide and nurture, but not to hold boundaries around our own space, our own sanity, the things that we need in order to increase our capacity. And in all honesty, if we held those boundaries, we'd be able to show up even better as a better version of ourselves.
Right. And by doing that, I was thinking while you were talking about that, it just breeds people pleasing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what creates ultimately a people pleaser, because as a people pleaser, I know boundaries are a big issue. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And that equals resentment.
100%. Yep.
We're resentful about the things that we're doing to accommodate other people when we're not holding our own boundaries, that we're not being honest with ourselves about.
Yeah. Well, so so the ladies that do struggle with boundaries, how do you go about, what do you recommend for them? Even if they can just start something simple to try to set those boundaries. Cause I know some of my clients, even you've talked to, and they were working on that as well. So how do you go about that?
Yeah. Usually where I like to start is we have to create self-awareness around it. And I talk about this a lot in my weekly group calls, right? In my Monday calls, as we always talk about self-awareness. I'm sure the ladies are sick of hearing me say those words, but
yeah,
it's about staying curious with yourself. So when you're feeling those icky feelings of like, oh, I wish they would just do this, or I'm always doing this, right? Like these hyperbolic phrases where we're inserting this language that makes it like all the time, no matter what, the never, the always, you know what I mean? Those words, when those come up and when those feelings come up about all the things that you do all the time for other people, start getting curious with yourself and asking, did someone ask me to do this? Right? Mm-hmm. Where is this expectation coming from? Am I putting it on myself? Right? Mm-hmm. Who gets hurt if I don't? Those kind of questions, right? Just staying curious with yourself. And journaling is huge. Like I tell ladies all the time, if you're not going to do mindset work with me and write out these stories, if you can write it out on your own, just to get it out on the page, it's super cathartic. Just to physically either write it or type it, just so you can see the words and they're not stuck in your head spiraling around.
Right. But that, what you said about who's going to get hurt if it doesn't happen, you know, that was huge, especially I feel like as for moms, a lot of times we get overwhelmed and the house needs to be clean and this needs to be done. And I even caught myself today thinking, I really need to do these dishes, but the kids are home from school and my youngest, he like loves to play with my hair. So he said, Mommy, I want your hair. And I was thinking, I need to get these dishes done. But then I thought to myself, if I don't do them right now, who cares?
It's true.
Like what's going to happen?
Yes.
But it's so eye-opening.
Pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to get mad at somebody else, like for instance, if I were to be like, well, my husband, I mean, he could have done the dishes, the lazy son of a gun or whatever. That's typically what happens.
Or to say like, you know, I couldn't do them because he wanted to play with my hair.
Yes, that's huge. Yeah. No, that's really good stuff.
So it's like looking at those, another question could be, where is this pressure coming from, right? Who's applying the pressure? Because if you ask that question, who's applying the pressure, guaranteed 9 times out of 10, you're going to point the finger back at yourself.
10 times out of 10 for me.
I literally have a client.
Since I'm on my own mindset session.
Yeah. We were talking about the holidays, right? And she was like, well, there's just so much stuff I have to do. I have to get gifts for the kids' teachers and I have to, you know, decorate the stuff and I have to wrap this stuff and like all of these things, right? Because the holidays are like, women have a laundry list of shit that like men, it doesn't even dawn on men's brains. No. These things have to be done. They just think magical Christmas elves take care of all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about all of these things for the holidays and talking about capacity, right? And I was like, hey, like, where does the need for this come from? Like, who is telling you that it has to be done this way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you didn't, right? And we finally got to the root of it, of like, she finally admitted, I just want it this way.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it took a while to get there because it was like, well, this, you know, they expect for this to happen and this is the way that it should be. And like, but says who?
Right.
Right. And we finally got to, I want it this way. And I said, okay. And that's totally fine. But if that's the truth and you're honest with yourself, then you can't be upset or hold resentment for anyone else because you want it that way.
Right. Right. And there's nothing to say that wanting those things is wrong. Like you said,
not wrong at all.
But the problem comes with how you're acting because you want things that way.
Because we want to perceive that someone else wants it that way, that this pressure is coming from somewhere other than ourselves. It's about taking that personal accountability. So you said about the dishes, right? Like it took me a long time, but I had to come to the realization that I am the only person in my house that cares about having a clean, empty sink. And it physically calms me. Like it's soothing to my nervous system to go into the kitchen and have a clean, empty sink that doesn't have dishes in it. And if I'm the only person that feels that way, then I will do the damn dishes so that it stays that way.
Yeah.
And I had to get out of the story of I'm always cleaning up after other people. I'm always doing other people's dishes. I'm doing it because it is what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's big. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really good.
Small, right? But it can go into really big stuff too.
Oh, right. Because like you said, it breeds resentment and then that just festers and then leads into all other areas.
Yeah. And then it's like a ticking time bomb, right? Because then there will be a straw that breaks the camel's no boundary holding back. And
right.
to a point where you're just like, I'm not doing this anymore. And the other person's like, is this about the dishes?
Yeah. And it's really like not deep down about the dishes, but yeah, that's really awesome. That's so good. Sure. But, and now I can, oh yes. Okay. So I wanted to ask your one piece of advice.
Yeah.
I think that was the last thing, but that was really good.
One piece of advice that I would give to ladies that are struggling in this area, or even that are not struggling in this area, because I think so many people avoid it. Right.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. Is I think the journaling, honestly, I know that we touched on that already, but it doesn't have to be anything formal. It doesn't even have to be paragraphs and paragraphs long. Even if you just wrote down at the end of every day how you're feeling or what you're happening, a lot of people get wrapped up in like, it has to be prompted, or it has to be gratitude, or it has to be affirmations, or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything other than what you want, and also meet yourself where you are. If a paper journal writing down physically doesn't work for you, do use an app. There are a ton of journaling apps. If that doesn't work for you, like I've gotten to the point now where I utilize the notes app in my phone. I've gone through, I literally have a stack here on my desk that I won't show because it's embarrassing, but four journals.
Yeah.
Either blank ones or prompted ones that I've tried to stick with. And I've done it for months at a time, but I've been most successful just using the notes app in my phone because it's accessible. My phone's always with me. Usually it's easy just to pull up. I don't have to open an app or log into anything or find it. You know, it's, I can just open it up and just start typing.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you have like a feeling or anything, that's just so the ladies understand, you would just pull it up and type it, just get it out.
Yeah. And that's been really helpful in real time, right? Because another deterrent that I hear about journaling is women will say, well, when I don't know what to write, like when I get to the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And maybe at that point, your battery is just empty and you're just tired. Mm-hmm. So being able to utilize something that's readily available can help you overcome that, right? And I utilize it a lot when I'm in periods of conflict. So when I'm really struggling with something, whether it's a fight with my partner, or if it's something that, you know, resentment I'm feeling towards a coworker or something like that, I'll just type out the things that I'm thinking. Sometimes it's really not nice, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
If I can get it out on the page, then I can analyze it and it doesn't continue to swirl and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right. And it's better than coming out of our mouths to our partner, whoever, or in text message, just the rapid fire.
Or what I think it's worse than coming out is holding it in.
True. Yep.
And never processing it, because it doesn't go away. It just gets buried and buried and then gets layered with all that resentment that we talked about and that toxicity.
Right.
So I think the journaling is huge. Just to help create that awareness that we were talking about, like to be able to reflect on how you're feeling and be able to process some of that. And that way, even if you can't work with a coach to work through it, at least you can start to analyze some of those behaviors and you can revisit it later too.
Right.
Right. And reflect on like, hey, like I might've found a pattern here. Like this is how I react in this situation when it comes up every time. Maybe I need to work on changing that.
Right. Nope. I agree. And this is something that is so beneficial for so many women. So like I said earlier, we're going to link all of your information below. But like I said, Lakin is a coach with Inside Rejuvenating. So any of you ladies that are inside Rejuvenating or even thinking about joining, this is something awesome that we can offer you with Lakin for the mindset coaching. So thank you so much, Lakin. And I really appreciate it. As always, so insightful. I love listening to you. And I love it when my clients are like, oh, I just love listening to Lakin's voice. And I'm like, thank you, because it makes me feel less creepy because I could just listen to you forever. So I really appreciate this. And ladies, definitely, definitely check out Lakin for sure.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Shauna.
Yeah, of course. And we will catch you ladies next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.